The advice sometimes given whimsically in movies to patients near death on their deathbed is, hey, don't go towards the light at the end of the tunnel. Is there any truth to such statements? And if so, how does it relate to the mind-body question? That's the topic today on Mind Matters News.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head-on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. I personally am always skeptical of anecdotes supporting this or that position. Isolated anecdotes describing the incredible can be interesting, but I think should always be viewed with skepticism. But a preponderance of anecdotal evidence points to truth, especially when anecdotes are from people with no skin in the game. As Stephen Hawking said in his book, A Brief History of Time, nothing in physics is ever proven. We simply accumulate evidence. And an accumulation of anecdotal evidence, I think, is a powerful way to support a theory. Stories about near-death experiences are numerous, and they're compelling. Here to talk about the topic today with us is Dr. Walter Bradley. Dr. Bradley, as we say, needs no introduction. He is the namesake of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. And in the podcast notes, we are going to supply a link to some material, which will tell you more about Dr. Bradley. Dr. Bradley has given a presentation on near-death experiences at the American Scientific Affiliation Conference, and we're here today to talk to him about that. Walter, welcome.
It's good to be here, Bob.
What is the definition of a near-death experience?
A near-death experience is a term that describes what today has become quite common in emergency rooms across the country, as well as occasionally in accidents that happen, maybe in highway accidents or so forth, in which a person has a complete loss of heartbeat and brainwaves. In the absence of a heartbeat and the consequential absence of brainwaves, if the heartbeat stops for very long, the brain ceases to function. What's happening at that during that period of time? And if they are resuscitated, what can they tell us about that intervening period where they were so-called clinically dead, and yet in many cases they have remarkable experiences during that interval of time? So it's called a near-death experience in that it wasn't permanent, but at least during the time interval that we're interested in, they were clinically dead in the sense that their physical body was medically dead. But it didn't mean that they ceased to exist. And so I think some of the most interesting empirical data that's been accumulating over the last 30 to 40 years about this mind-body question has come through these so-called near-death experiences, which provide what I think of is remarkable evidence for what happens after we die, told to us by people who actually did die and were subsequently resuscitated and come back with these amazing stories.
Now, you mentioned briefly the impact of near-death experiences in terms of the debate on the mind-body problem. Could you elaborate on that a little bit more? What is the mind-body problem and the difference between dualism and monism, and what do near-death experiences tell us about that?
I think one of the challenges until recently, in the last maybe 30 or 40 years, it was a question that was only answered in a philosophical way, because there was no way to go and find out what happens to people when they die, because when they died, we didn't ever have any communication with them subsequently. So there was no way to get what I consider to be firsthand information. But because of the advancing medical technology today, it's become much more common for people to experience a physical death, again, no heartbeat, no brainwaves, and then be, with modern medicine, shocked or whatever, resuscitated, come back to consciousness. And what's been interesting and in many ways remarkable is that these people come back with amazing stories. And it's very clear that they're not making this up. We know during the time period that they were clinically dead what was going on in the operating room. But these people can tell you, because their spirit, in many cases, hovers over the activities going on in the emergency room. They can see what the doctors are doing. They can see themselves on the operating table. Maybe the most interesting story that I've read about is a young lady who was born blind. She's 21 years old. She's never, ever had vision. She's in a car accident, not as the driver, but as a passenger. She's rushed to the emergency room, and she finds herself in the emergency room hovering over this group of doctors and nurses frantically working on this young lady, obviously somebody who was dead, and they were trying to shock her and do other things to bring her back to life. She didn't immediately recognize that dead young lady was her.
Now, just to emphasize, this girl has been blind since birth.
Yeah.
Never seen anything.
She's never seen anything, and she has particularly never seen herself. So she doesn't immediately, she's conscious, she sees what's going on. She says, I felt more alive than I've ever felt. And she said, I see this young girl that they're working on, this 21-year-old lady, frantically trying to bring her back to life. And it took me a few minutes to figure out, that's me. How did she figure it out? Well, she had an orchid ring. It was very unusual, and she could see that on this dead lady. She also had very, very long hair, which this young lady had. And it suddenly dawned on her, oh my gosh, there I am, dead on the operating table. But here I am, you know, in this spiritual body, if we can call it a spirit body. And she said, more conscious than I've ever been. I can see, I can hear everything. And when she was resuscitated successfully, she talked to the doctors and she was able to share with them. And they were very skeptical about her story. But she reminded him, I'm a blind person, and I can tell you everything that went on in the operating room. Dr. So-and-so was using bad language. Dr. Other So-and-so didn't have his covers on his shoes, you know, that they're supposed to wear.
Didn't have his covers on his shoes. Oh, for the operating, they have to.
Yeah, they have little cloth things they put on. And so she could report all of these remarkable things, even if she had only been unconscious and not dead. She still couldn't have reported all the things she saw because she's blind. Now, there are many, many stories like this.
Well, I want to talk about those, the specific anecdotes. But before we do that, I think it's informative to talk about the general consensus, the common denominator of people who have experienced near-death experiences and what we see from case to case to case of these near-death experiences and their witnessing about it afterwards.
Yeah, I think it's important to try to find out what are the common threads and what are things that may be unique to each person's own experience. And it turns out that there are at least 3,500 carefully documented cases. Carefully documented means that people were interviewed when they were resuscitated. Their spirit reunites with the body at that moment in time when the resuscitation takes place. And these people can give you a very detailed account of what went on in the operating room.
I'm thinking of things about when they came back. One of the common things that I have read about is that the experience was indescribable.
Yeah.
That they had no language, no experience which they could draw upon, mm-hmm. which allowed them to relate what happened during the near-death experience.
Let me divide their experience into two parts.
Okay.
Okay, to clarify. I think what happens in the operating room is very, very crucial because you can validate it.
Yes.
What happens in the operating room, if this person, while they were clinically dead, can tell you everything that went on, something they couldn't possibly know in a worldview that had only a physical body. There's no way. On the other hand, if we have a body that is a dwelling place for our soul or our spirit, and they can separate at the time of death, then they could tell you everything that went on in the operating room. So I say what's happening in the operating room is crucial for validating the data at all. Now, At the same time, many of these people, not always, but most often, or often, they report during that period of time, it may be 10, 15 minutes, where they're clinically dead, their spirit not only can observe what goes on in the operating room, it can take a journey. It goes out of the hospital. It can go through the walls. It's a spirit. It's not a physical body. It can go down a tunnel where there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and on the other end of that tunnel, it's, oh my gosh, they basically are getting what I would call a visit to the front porch of heaven. And they're having this opportunity to see things, as you were talking about, that are amazing and almost indescribable, because we don't have words to describe things that don't exist here.
Yes.
And so, and many, many people come back having not only had this experience of observing what went on in the hospital emergency room, but also what happened when they took this journey. And it's, I'm trying to think of the term, telepathic transportation or something.
Telepathic transportation. That sounds good to me.
There's a better term than that, where they can think about being someplace and then they are there.
Yes.
Okay.
That was one of the common experiences of people that did experience.
Yeah, it's pretty often the case.
Wow. And
so those the remarkable experiences are things that you can't validate directly, but many people come back with similar stories, which is a form of validation. But more importantly, if the hospital experiences has demonstrated they really were in existence and conscious and able to tell you what went on there, then there's no particular reason to doubt, in a sense, the rest of the story.
The other common denominator that I read about was, number one, the incredible light that exists. And as an engineer nerd type of person, I was really intrigued by the idea that they saw colors that they had never seen before. This was a common confession of people that had experienced these near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. And of course, we can only see a small spectrum of light, but apparently they had the ability to see a broader spectrum of light or something like that, and saw colors which we can't comprehend, which is just kind of amazing. I would like to see a color that I have never seen before. And they have done it. No wonder they came back and they said, this is indescribable.
The part of about light is interesting in that there is almost always a common denominator. And there is this remarkable bright light that emanates from what appears to be a person. Okay. And I think in their experience, their experience is that this is God or this is Jesus, and that he is the light that illumines this other place that's out of our universe, if you will. And they actually report remarkable opportunities to speak with this person of light and to have a life review in which in a remarkably short time, because time doesn't pass in the same way in the spirit world that it does here. They can have their whole life pass before them, and they can see the things that they did and the impact that they made, both good and bad. And they're almost everybody who comes back from one of these says their lives are changed forever.
Yes.
Because they see things that seemed insignificant. Maybe I was rude to somebody, or I did something that was a bit mean, and it didn't seem like a big deal, but that contributed to maybe them beginning to develop a bad self-image or self-esteem, and we did a lot of damage we don't realize. And then on the good side, maybe kind things that we've done, thoughtful things that we've done to help people also ruminates on down through. It's like throwing a rock in the pond, and you get a whole series of concentric waves. And life is like that, and it gives a significance to everything that we do that we really probably have never thought of. Because most of these things we think are insignificant. And then we find out when we get to see our life review, oh my gosh, I wish I had known this when I was living. I would have lived differently.
You hear so much about changed lives. I know my wife's grandfather was in a near-death experience. He was in a severe auto accident and was clinically dead for a while. And he came back and his life was totally transformed. He was no longer afraid of death. which was his
big change.
It was an incredible change. Well, Dr. Bradley, thank you. We're going to continue talking to Dr. Bradley in a subsequent podcast concerning near-death experiences. What are some of the fascinating anecdotes? What are the common denominators of people that have experienced near-death experiences? And we will talk about that more on the next Mind Matters News. Until then, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.